Our next guest is a maker who spent years combing through DIY books looking for fun and tech-savvy projects he could share with his two daughters, projects that weren't dumbed down and didn't require a splash of pink paint.
Well, in a new book, he details 22 of his favorite father-daughter projects, ones that encourage both father and daughters to geek out and get creative, and to help girls cultivate an early affinity for science, math, technology, and engineering, the STEM fields.
Joining us now is Mark Frauenfelder. He's editor-in-chief of Make Magazine and the founder of the hit website Boing Boing. His new book is called Maker Dad, Lunchbox Guitars, Anti-Gravity Jars, and 22 other incredibly cool father-daughter DIY projects. Mark, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks a lot.
So you're a father of two daughters, as we said. Why was it important to you to find projects that you could do with your daughters?
Well, because I'd like to spend time with my kids, and I also like to have fun when I'm spending time with my kids. I've found that if the kid's having fun doing something and the parent's not, the kid will sense that. And so what I wanted to do was come up with projects that we actually both really enjoy doing together. And so, you know, my daughters helped me do that. We just kind of went around the world, our neighborhood and town, and if we saw something that intrigued us, we would try to do our own version. I remember a couple of years ago, we were in a little boutique in Venice, California, and we saw these little soap shapes that had been cast from baby doll arms. So it was soap in the shape of like a little baby's fist, and my daughters thought that they were really cute. And I said, you know, I bet we could make something like that at home, and we could cast different plastic objects. And so we found out about silicone rubber molding compound and glycerin soap that you could heat up in a microwave and different kinds of coloring agents and different fragrances. And we ended up making our own soap shapes. And that was one of the projects we put in the book.
And you're also emphasizing here the daughter aspect of it. You're reaching out to girls. How come?
Well, because I took a look at some of the books that were geared towards parents and children-based crafts. And there are a lot of great books out there. But most of them are for boys. And I got some of the books, and they just really did not appeal that much to my daughters. A lot of them were about cars, vehicles, and although I know a lot of girls like that kind of stuff, my girls happen not to be that interested in those kinds of things. And so it ended up that, you know, the projects, every project in here is something that my two daughters really liked. And so I thought this should be a book for parents and daughters.
And yet these aren't, you know, girly projects. It's not as though, you know, as we said, everything involves pink paint and glitter or anything like that. These are things that they're just cool projects for kids.
Yeah, definitely. I you know, my daughters like doing things on the computer, and they like video games. So one of the things is programming your own video game using a really cool programming language that was developed at MIT for kids called Scratch, where you kind of drag and drop your commands into a window, and you kind of snap them together like Lego pieces almost, and you can write programs that way. And my 11-year-old daughter loves playing with Scratch and comes up with all sorts of interactive programs using it. So they definitely, I mean, really the book could be for any adult and child to do together, but it definitely works as a dad and daughter combination.
Something like coding a video game, that sounds kind of intimidating too. I bet a lot of grown-ups, but you did it with your kids. How daunting are these projects, including that one?
Well, you know, it's not that hard. I mean, really, what I wanted to make sure that there were no barriers to entry in any of the projects so that you could start one out with zero experience or knowledge and have the steps really clearly outlined. So with the retro arcade video game program, if you just follow along the instructions, you will end up with a video game at the end, along with suggestions on how to tweak and modify it. Some of the projects are a little more challenging. I think the most challenging one probably is using the Arduino, which is an electronics prototyping platform. It's a really cool device that costs about $25, and it lets you emulate electronic circuits. It was designed for artists and designers to put interactivity into their projects. And you can make all sorts of really cool things with it, but it's kind of an intimidating looking thing. It's a printed circuit board with all sorts of components and pins and little LEDs on it and things. But if you follow the instructions in the book, you will be able to do all sorts of things like generate tones. You can control a servo motor with a potentiometer. You can adjust the frequency coming out of a buzzer by shining a light on the Arduino. And, you know, it sounds like it might be complicated, but it really isn't that tough to do. I've taught and Arduino workshops to kids who are as young as 9 or 10, and they get it. So that was one of the things that I really wanted to make sure was that the projects were sophisticated and satisfying and somewhat challenging, but also not so difficult that they would discourage anyone.
Yeah, and I bet if you do make it through that and you master the Arduino or whatever it's called, that you do have a sense of the horizons that you can go to and feeling of accomplishment, and that maybe you can do the next step up, too, if you're a girl.
That's definitely what I wanted to do. And there has been research showing that when you accomplish a task and it was a challenge at the right level where it just pushed you a little bit, you gain this sense of self-efficacy where you are then able to kind of raise your own bar and make, you know, challenge yourself a little bit, take on a more challenging task. And you just can continue to do that and get better and better and develop skills and experience. And as you do that, the whole world becomes a hackable platform where you become like a participant in the design world around you rather than just the consumer. And it's a really cool experience to have, and it's really fun to see it happen with your kids.
Yeah, sounds really empowering. So let's talk about some of these projects that you've got in your book. One that just sounds super cool, the anti-gravity jar. What is that?
Oh, yeah. It's basically a magic trick. There are a couple of magic tricks in here. And this one it's one of the simplest tricks in the book, but the effect is pretty incredible. It is a paper clip inside of a glass jar that's like floating, kind of like a helium balloon attached to a string. It's a paper clip attached to a little thread, and it's just floating inside the jar. And the idea is that it's filled with an anti-gravity fluid that's keeping it floating. But the secret is, of course, at the top of the lid is a magnet. You can't see it, but it's a really powerful magnet, and it's pulling the paper clip up. And but the effect is cool because the paper clip's kind of wobbling a little bit. So you have this feeling that there's some kind of energy inside there.
Ah, so that's cool. So that's one of those amaze your friends and family with the anti-gravity jar.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun one for, especially maybe a younger girl who wants to get into magic. One that I really loved was the Friendstrument. Which was
also seemed a little
intimidating to me, even as a grown-up. But explain the Friendstrument to us.
Yeah, that was an interesting one because I started out trying to make a lie detector bracelet for one of my daughters. And it just was like too bulky and weird. But I loved the sound, that weird like beeping, warbling electronic sound that it made. So what we ended up doing was having a little box with some electronic circuitry inside, and there's two pennies on the box. It looks kind of mysterious, like, what are these two pennies? And one kid touches a penny, and then the other kid touches the other penny, and then when the kids touch each other, you complete the circuit, and you can make sound. So if you hold the other person's hand and squeeze, it will actually change the tone of the speaker. Hmm. So you can basically play music by, touching your friend, you know, pinching their ear or touching their nose. It's really a lot of fun, and kids always laugh when they play with it.
That one sounds fantastic. I think I may actually try to do that one. Well, we're talking right now with Mark Frauenfelder, author of Maker Dad, about some great father-daughter DIY projects. And we'd like to hear from you, too. If you're a Maker Dad and you've engineered some cool projects for your kids or your son or daughter for that matter, we want to hear about it. Call us, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with Mark Frauenfelder from Make Magazine about fun and tech-savvy DIY projects for dads and daughters. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What kinds of cool, geeky projects have you done with your kids, boys or girls? And what did they take away from the experience? Did you see them growing as they learned to make stuff and had a fun experiences doing it? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Mark, I'm going to go to the calls right now and take our first caller, Jennifer in Milwaukee. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I was thinking that this book sounds like something that would be great for my daughter to buy for her father for Father's Day. But I was wanting to know what she was thinking the age range of these projects would be. I understand that some of them are on a complex side, but I'm assuming some of them got to be a little easier and maybe might be more appropriate for younger girls.
Okay, good question, Jennifer. Mark, what is the age range on this?
Yeah, I think that a good number of the projects could probably be done with 8-year-old girls, and then some of the more difficult ones probably, I think that 10 or 11 is probably the youngest. My 10-year-old daughter was able to do everything in the book. We did the projects together, and it is supposed to be one that's, you know, for dads and daughters or mothers and kids to do together. At the beginning of the book, I have a little code that describes each project as either being easy and quick, moderately challenging, or challenging. And I think it's probably a third of each are, you know, a third are easy, a third are medium, and a third are challenging.
Okay, so a bit of a range there, so
yeah.
Between 8 and 11. Perfect. Well, good luck to you, Jennifer. Appreciate that question. And Mark, let's talk about another one of your projects. And some of them, we've talked about some of the more difficult ones. Let's talk about some of the easier ones now. A bubble wand, a giant bubble wand, which I have to say looked pretty darn impressive. How do you do that?
You can make some really cool, gigantic bubbles with these things. And so it's not like a typical bubble wand. What you use is a couple of sticks, like dowels, and then you have a big loop of T-shirt material. And you cut the T-shirt, so you cut the material so it's in the shape of a ring. You know what I mean? Like you would cut like the bottom, a circle all the way around the bottom of a T-shirt. And that material, that cotton material, is really good at soaking up bubble solution, and then you attach that loop of cloth to two sticks. There's a little bit more involved to it than that, but that's basically the shape of it, and then you dip it into a bucket of soap solution, and if it's a slightly breezy day, you let the wind do work for you, and if it's not breezy, you just kind of walk, not very quickly, you know, kind of just walk backwards slowly, and you can make this giant, really long bubble, and it's really fun to photograph because you can see all the different colors coming off of the bubble. It's pretty remarkable.
And also there's just nothing cooler than a really giant bubble.
Yeah.
I think kids universally agree on that.
Yeah, totally. And it's so much, I mean, everybody has phones with videos on them now, so they make great videos. And if you have slow-mo on your camera, you can do some really fun videos with it.
Okay, so moving from that one, which is, you know, kind of simple and fun, we've got another one which is a little more complicated, could be ongoing, could lead to, you know, fame and fortune, and that is a podcast, creating a podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was a really fun one. Jane, my 11-year-old, and I, we do a podcast called Apps for Kids, where we talk about fun smartphone apps for kids and parents. And so why not? I would love to have more parents and kids do podcasts together. So we talk about the microphone setup that you need, how to record it, how to edit it, how to upload it to a computer, finding a service that will host your files, how to get it onto iTunes, all that kind of stuff, step by step. It's not hard to do, and it's how fun is that? You know, making your own show and having it available for the world to listen to.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, this is one that's pretty techy. This has got a lot of computer stuff going on in it, and given what we know about needing more women and girls to get interested in science, tech, engineering, math, that kind of thing, do you see sort of that at the end of the tunnel when you're thinking about a project like a podcast?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. I mean, you're learning about a lot of different technical things, and you're becoming comfortable with different kinds of computer applications. You're learning about acoustics. That kind of hands-on physical experience with technology so that you become familiarized with it is really important. I think it's even more important than kind of an intellectual grasp of technology to actually like to try things out and say, oh, you know, that the way that when I put the microphone in a room without any carpeting, you know, it's I get this weird echo sound. And so I mean, just learning about that stuff intuitively is such a huge help for math and science related fields later on if you want to be an engineer or a scientist.
Now, you are obviously sort of an expert, not even sort of, you're an expert when it comes to making things. You're the founder of Make Magazine. But for parents who might not be anywhere near that that savvy, working with their hands or working with rudimentary technology, they're a little green. What advice can you give?
The same advice that other people gave me when I was starting out making it and kind of fearful of doing it, and that is to get over the idea that mistakes are a bad thing. So many people are really discouraged because they're afraid that they're going to make a mistake, and I think that that's not their fault. When we go to school, we learn that mistakes equal bad grades, and so we're like trained, we're hardwired now to think that the best thing to do in life is to avoid making mistakes. But really, to be a maker, you have to really embrace the idea that mistakes are inevitable. And that's not to say that you should intentionally try to make mistakes. You should try not to make mistakes. But you have to also realize that mistakes are going to happen and that you should look at them as ways to learn and opportunities to discover things that you didn't know before, and also to, like, sometimes I'll make a mistake on something, kind of like the Friendstrument. When I tried to make the lie detector out of a bracelet, and I just couldn't get it. And instead of saying, well, that was a failure, I took that mistake and turned it into something that was probably even more fun and original than a lie detector.
And for a parent who is a little green, and so they've gotten this pep talk from you about not worrying so much about mistakes, what is a great first project from your book?
Well, let's see. I think that probably the polymer clay project is so much fun. That's something actually I learned from my daughters. Polymer clay, it looks like ordinary modeling clay, and you can mold it into any shape you want. It comes in a huge variety of colors, including metallic colors and stuff. But once you make something cool that you like, you can just pop it into the toaster oven for about 20 minutes, and it hardens into a permanent plastic object. And so it's something that's anyone can mold things with clay and have fun with that. So what we did was we made a necklace out of, it looks like little ice Neapolitan chocolate ice cream sandwiches. And it looks like you could actually eat them. And that would be a great project for someone who has not made something before, to make a little polymer clay, you know, animal or food item.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me, Veronica.
We've been talking to Mark Frauenfelder, editor-in-chief of Make Magazine and the founder of the culture and technology website Boing Boing. His new book is called Maker Dad, and he joined us to share some cool dad and daughter DIY projects.